Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
2 Samuel chapter 7 contains one of the great prophecies in all of Scripture. When God tells King David, "I will raise up your seed after you, which will come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. It is he who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son." Well, we all realize now that this word was prophesying concerning the first coming of Christ. Christ is the seed of David. The Lord Jesus himself referred to this passage when speaking to the Pharisees during an exchange where they were trying to trap him. Listen to Matthew chapter 22, verses 41 through 45. "Now when the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus questioned them, saying, 'What do you think concerning the Christ? Whose son is he?' They said to him, 'David's.' He said to them, 'How then does David in spirit call him Lord?' Saying," and here he quotes from Psalm 110, "'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I put your enemies underneath your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?'" Well, this question, "What do you think concerning the Christ?" is the question in the universe and ultimately must be answered by every man. Bob Danker has joined us today. Bob, I'm in some fear and trembling, I think, may describe it. This message today, once again from 2 Samuel 7, is so full in its significance and the implication of some of the things we'll touch that we really have to be under the Lord's mercy to have any hope of conveying this in a good, clear way. So I'm glad I can lean on you. Glad you're here.
Well, I'm going to lean on you too, Chris. I agree. This is a very mysterious matter, how the seed of a man could be the Son of God and be the builder of God's house, God's universal building, is a tremendous matter. Actually, it touches the central focus of the entire Bible.
Bob, the Lord was dialoguing here with the Pharisees, challenging them. This passage is a little hard to understand. I heard this many times and read it many times in the writings of Witness Lee, but I went back and read the verse very carefully again and even the reference in Psalm 110 to make sure I got it. David says in Psalm 110, "The Lord said to my Lord." The first Lord there must be God the Father, correct?
Yes.
And he said to my Lord, which has to be Christ.
Yes, because the Lord quoted this verse in relation to the Christ. The question is, what do you think concerning the Christ? Whose son is he? And the Lord Jesus quoted Psalm 110 to prove that the Christ is not merely a man, but he is God.
But the Pharisees were corrected first when they said, well, he is David's son. And surely Romans makes it clear. The Old Testament in a number of places makes it clear. Christ was the seed or is the seed of David, a literal offspring of David, yet at the same time, he is the Son of God. And this duality here, this really is the center of the mystery concerning Christ, isn't it?
Absolutely.
One other verse that I want to mention, and before we join Witness Lee with his first portion, he will talk about it a little bit, is Revelation 22, verse 16. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." He is both the root and the offspring. Bob, say just a little bit about this verse before we join.
That is a great mystery, Chris. He's the root of David, means he's David's source. And that speaks concerning his divinity. But he is the offspring of David. That means he came out from David. That speaks of his humanity. That means that Christ is a wonderful person who is both divine and human, so mysterious we cannot fathom this marvelous person. But as he says concerning himself, he is both God and man.
Hmm. It's a mystery, but it's a wonderful mystery, and there are some marvelous implications in the mystery for us, as we'll see today. All right, let's join Witness Lee.
Would you please turn to Matthew 22? While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus questioned them, "What do you think concerning the Christ? Whose son is he?" This is the biggest problem in the whole universe. How could Christ be the seed of a man, yet he becomes the Son of God? The Pharisees, they knew the Bible very much, but when the Lord put them on the spot, their mouths got shut. They couldn't understand. They knew quite well that the Lord was the Son of David, the seed of David. The answer, though, concerned this strongly, without any hesitation. But the Lord says, why then David, as the forefather of Christ, called Christ the Lord? They couldn't understand. How Christ be, on the one hand, God, and on the other hand, a man? Listen to this, Revelation 22, 16. I am the root of David, and also the offspring of David. Christ is the root of David. This refers to his divinity. He is God, so he could be the source, the root of David. He is also, meantime, the offspring, the issue, the coming out of David. And this refers to his humanity. Divinely, he was the root of David. Humanly, he is the issue of David. At the root, David came out of him. At the offspring, he comes out of David. Could you reconcile this?
Bob, he concludes there with this kind of rhetorical question. Could you reconcile these two things? There seems to be a contradiction here. And in fact, many believers cannot or haven't grasped the significance of this seeming contradiction. It's not a contradiction. The riches of God's New Testament economy is unveiled here, isn't it?
That's right. In 2 Samuel, God told David that his seed would be God's son. What a mysterious thing. Then at the very beginning of the New Testament, Jesus is called the Son of David. So no doubt Jesus is that seed. And yet here in Matthew 22, the Lord is putting the Pharisees on the spot to see how well they know the Scriptures. And it turns out they didn't know them very well. They knew only that the Christ, the Messiah, would be the seed or the Son of David. And they were right in that. But what they didn't realize is that in another psalm, David called this Messiah his Lord, which implies that he is God. So the Pharisees were caught. They were exposed as to their shallowness in knowing the Scriptures. And also this mystery of the person of Christ was brought to the forefront. Who can explain how a man can be God or how God can be a man? Who would have think that God would become a man to be a human seed, to fulfill a prophecy that he gave to David in the Old Testament? This is mysterious. You can't reconcile. How could Christ be the source of David, and how could he be the issue or the offspring of David? The only way is that he is both God and man.
And that is really the point here of this aspect of the mystery of Christ, and that is what is being revealed, what he is telling the Pharisees, what he was telling David, what he is telling us in Revelation 22, is that he is both God and at the same time man. A lot of people consider that when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he put off his humanity, and that what exists today is just the divine one. But in other places, his speaking makes it very clear that's not the case, right?
That's right. When the Lord resurrected, he resurrected his humanity. And the scriptures make it very clear. For instance, in Matthew 26, the Lord was there before the Sanhedrin. He told them, one day you'll see the Son of Man.
Right.
Sitting at the right hand and coming in the clouds. That means when he comes back, he will be not only the Son of God with divinity, he'll be the Son of Man with humanity. And actually, this joining together of divinity and humanity in one person is really the very focal point of God's eternal economy, the focal point of God's eternal plan. This is what God is doing. He's making himself one with man. And what it really means to be a Christian is to be a person who's not only human, but also divine, because we have this wonderful one within us.
Let's look at Colossians, another book in the New Testament, in this next section to underscore this very point you're now making. The point, the purpose even of the gospel is not just to recognize Christ in his humanity and his divinity, but to realize he is bringing his divinity into humanity when he comes into us, reconstituting us to be the real members of his body. In Colossians 1:15, it says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation?" So Christ is, in this verse, both the image of God and yet the firstborn of all creation, implying both natures there again. And in chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, it says, "And have put on the new man," and in context here, the new man refers to the church, "which is being renewed unto full knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all." The mystery expands here, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
All right, let's go back to Witness Lee.
Okay. Now I refer you to Colossians 1 and 3. Firstly, 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God.
Amen.
This divine God is the creator. And he is the image of the creator. The firstborn of all creation. This means what? He's God and he's a creature. How you reconcile this? Then read chapter 3. In the new man, there's no American, there's no British, no French. No. We all got annulled. Then who is here? But Christ is all. Christ is everyone. And Christ is in everyone. Do you understand this verse? How to explain? My goodness, you need a vision to see, to realize in the church, every member is Christ. So what? So in the church, in the body, in the new man, Christ is all, and he is in all. The person of Christ is the biggest mystery. My, according to the Bible, in typology, in the Old Testament, and in fulfillment, in the New Testament, Christ is unveiled so clearly. He's both God and man. He's both the creator and the creature. Not only so, he is both even you and me. And he's the head, he's also the body.
Bob, this feels like a Thanksgiving dinner. We've had a lot to chew on already, and yet the dishes just keep coming. He is both God and man. He is both the creator and the creature. He is both the head of the body and the body. How do we reconcile this?
Well, this is a vision in the Bible, Chris, that shows us that in God's plan, God's economy, Christ is everything and everyone. God's purpose is to make this Christ, who is both God and man, he is the creator. He's the image of the creator. That means he must be divine. And he is the firstborn of all creation. That means he is surely human. This one who is divine and human has come into us to make us the members of his body and the constituents of the new man. And when he comes into us, his main purpose in doing that is to saturate us with himself, to dispense himself into every part of our being. You might say to grow in us or expand in us, to make us exactly the same as he is, so that when we are filled with him, in a real sense, he has become us, and we have become him. We and he have been joined and mingled together as one. This is God's economy. This is God's purpose and God's plan. So Christ is God and man, and he is also every member of the new man, and he is in every member, and he's also the head of the body, and he's also the body of the head. This is God's plan to make Christ everything by dispensing this Christ who has passed through a process and been consummated to be the life-giving Spirit, to dispense this Christ into us to make us the same as he is.
Make us the same as he is, of course, as the body, not as the head.
That's right.
Uniquely, he remains the head for eternity.
That's right.
And as such, he is the unique object of worship, but we do participate, share, and are even being constituted the same. We have another segment of our program left. Let's get to that. Continuing the same thought, relating this now back to the prophecy in 2 Samuel 7 that was really the topic we began with, although I would add one more passage from the New Testament that Witness Lee will make reference to. That is in Romans chapter 1. Concerning his son, in verses 3 and 4, who came out of the seed of David, according to the flesh, who was designated the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, out of the resurrection of the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. And interestingly, this phrase, he was designated the Son of God, referring to what happened to his humanity in resurrection.
That's right, Chris.
All right, here's Witness Lee once more.
2 Samuel chapter 7. There God prophesied that a seed will be given to David, who will be called the Son of David. Yet this seed is something divine. Eventually, he will be designated to be the Son of God, the firstborn Son of God. And this one will be all in all to us. So, today, it is not a matter for us, the Christians, to adjust ourselves, to improve ourselves. This is the teaching of Confucius. Right? This is the teaching of all kinds of religion. Religion is used to improve people's conduct, behavior, and so forth. But this is not God's dynamic salvation. God's dynamic salvation is just the triune God himself, passing through so many processes. And he became the life-giving, all-inclusive Spirit. He is such a one to be contacted by you. You just pray a little bit from your spirit, you contact this all-inclusive Spirit. He is so real. His life to you, his everything to you. This is the prophecy in 2 Samuel chapter 7. A seed of David could be called the Son of God, and he could call God his Father. Wonderful. He is divine as well as human. He has to be wrought into us. You don't need to pay that attention, how to adjust yourself, how to improve yourself. You just forget about it. He will route himself into you to be everything. Gradually, he will move in you. He will transform you, see, making you bit by bit into his image. Christ is real, is genuine, is living, is fresh, is even today, even now, moving in you, working in you, transforming you all the time. So he becomes our seed, the seed of David. He's the firstborn of God and we are his followers, being the many sons of God. So we are his many brothers. Hallelujah. This is God's dynamic salvation.
Bob, he somewhat brought up this comparison. Let me pose it to you as our entrance into our final portion here. To see this kind of vision that we're talking about today, and then the thought of even going back to this kind of old common religious thought of just improving our behavior and trying to become an acceptable person in God's sight, how could we possibly go back after we've seen such a vision?
Yes, we do need to see this vision. What God in his salvation is doing is not just producing some human beings who are perfect in their behavior, or improved at least.
Yeah.
God's salvation produces sons, makes all the believers in Christ sons of God. Christ, of course, is the seed of a man, David, who is also the Son of God. His humanity has been uplifted in resurrection and has been designated the Son of God. Now, God's intention or God's desire is to make this Christ a prototype for mass reproduction. God's desire is to reproduce Christ, to make us little Christs, you would say, or the many sons of God. Christ is the firstborn. We are the many sons. So the way God does this is he puts his firstborn into us as the life-giving Spirit. And now, as we pray day by day, moment by moment, we speak to this one, we tell this one we love him, we contact him in our spirit. He moves in us, he works in us, and gradually, little by little, he transforms us into his image so that we will become the same as he is in life, in nature, in image. Of course, as you said, not in the Godhead. We are not an object of worship. We are the many sons of God. This is God's salvation. This is God's dynamic salvation. And this is also the building of God's house, right? To make us the same as Christ is God's building a house for himself. And that house is us, his chosen people. And at the same time, he becomes our home. So it's a mutual abode.
We put all these verses together, the matter of the firstborn becoming firstborn son among many brothers, that Romans 8:29, and the designated the son in resurrection, Romans 1, and of course the verses in Colossians, the verses we began with today in the portion in Matthew, and all hinging and being tied to this marvelous prophecy in 2 Samuel chapter 7. What a book the Bible is. What human could have possibly written such a book, Bob?
It could not have been written by man. Only God could write such a book.
And really, only God can also give us the kind of light and wisdom and understanding to grasp these very divine and high things that we've been talking about these last few days. We've got a few days left in this life study of 2 Samuel. So if you are being treated to a rich unveiling of the mystery of God and the mystery of Christ in this portion of the life study of 2 Samuel, we hope you'll stay with us for these final programs, and also that you would contact us and get the printed life study volume for all the programs in Samuel, both first and second. If you'll call us, we can tell you how to receive that. We really are reaching the very highest peak in this revelation from the books of Samuel, both first and second. So stay with us the balance of this week as we conclude this life study. For Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.